This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Mr. Juncker goes to Washington. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. The European Union is sending a delegation to the White House this morning, led by head of the EU Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker. EU officials are hoping to convince President Trump to lift tariffs already in place on steel and aluminum and to forego new tariffs under consideration on auto imports. Ahead of the meeting, Trump tweeted an idea to get things started, that the US and EU should drop all tariffs, barriers, and subsidies. Simple sounding idea, complex execution. The BBC's Rob Young has been following this for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Tracy.
So, Rob, we're still hours away from the meeting, but in the lead-up, we've been hearing from EU officials who appear to be trying to maybe manage expectations. What are they saying?
That's right. Jean-Claude Juncker has said that he is not very optimistic that the rising trade tensions between the United States and the European Union will be eased after this meeting with President Trump today. But they have said that they are there to try to avoid a trade war. They are in Washington to try to persuade President Trump that he should not increase tariffs on European-made cars, pointing out that European car makers employ an awful lot of people in factories in the United States, saying that when he looks at the trade balance between the world's biggest economy and the world's biggest economic bloc, he needs to take an awful lot of other factors into account. So Donald Trump will, in a sense, be given something of an economics lesson by the head of the European Commission, something which he may or may not welcome.
If EU officials are trying to manage expectations going into these talks, what might they be expecting to come out of these talks?
They do not like the fact that there is a threat of higher tariffs on EU-made cars. They also don't want to have substantive trade talks while the high tariffs on steel and aluminium are in place as well. But the White House shows no sign of backing down on the steel and aluminium front, nor indeed with the threat to impose higher tariffs on cars. So it will be interesting to see whether Donald Trump is right, as he has tweeted, that countries are running to the White House to have trade talks after he has decided to shake things up a bit.
All right, the BBC's Rob Young. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
GM reports earnings today, and the carmaker is excited about a new program it rolled out this week that allows GM owners to rent out their cars. Think Airbnb, but for your Chevy, Buick, or Cadillac. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looks at how car sharing works.
GM wants to make renting out your car easier than pumping gas. Owners sign up for an app that lets them set availability and price. GM installs technology in the cars so drivers don't even have to exchange car keys.
As an owner, like, you don't want to be inconvenienced. You don't necessarily want to have to meet someone face to face.
That's Megan Stuck from Maven, the company that's owned by GM that's running this business. Maven estimates a Chevy Cruze owner, for example, could earn $500 a week if their car was available all day, every day. The question is, do people want to rent their cars the way they rent their homes and apartments? Center for Automotive Research analyst Adela Spolber says automakers, including Ford, BMW, and Volkswagen, are exploring this new market.
They're doing that to see what works, what is more profitable, more scalable in the long term.
Spolber also says car share programs are a hedge in case the expensive new car market dries up. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down about 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all just about flat, with Dow futures down 4 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 2.94%. Earlier this week, we told you that Fiat Chrysler CEO Sergio Marconi stepped down due to health complications after a recent surgery. The company announced today that Marchione has now died. He's remembered as a larger-than-life CEO who helped save Chrysler by folding it into Fiat in 2009. The company will announce earnings later today. Overwhelmingly, American adults say they'd like to stay in their own home as they age. A way for them to do a version of that is co-housing. It gives people the opportunity to live on their own, but in a community where they share some chores, meals, expenses. Danielle Pryor of WMFE in Orlando has that story.
It's a summer's day, and residents of Daystar Community in Tallahassee are hosting a garden show. This is just one of 165 co-housing communities registered with the nonprofit Co-Housing Association of the United States.
You can go through and look at the shade garden in the back if you want to.
Okay.
But just come back through the house to exit because there's birds nesting in the azalea here.
Tom Clark and his wife Margaret joined with another couple almost 25 years ago to build the first houses. Clark says they purchased the land, contracted it out, and eventually attracted six other households. All the members own their own homes, but share common spaces, and people who live here are willing to help each other out. That's crucial, now that the youngest of the original members are in their 60s, and nobody's planning on moving anytime soon.
They can't count on skilled nursing care. They have to purchase that, but they'll have neighbors that are used to helping each other out.
This kind of housing arrangement is a way for people to age in place, says University of Florida's Dr. Stephen Gallant.
It offers older persons a relatively small community, a very close-knit social contact that enable them to enjoy a variety of socially communal activities, but also to potentially enjoy the advantages of having assistance.
Another founding couple, Ann Hingst and her husband Emery, are hoping that's the case.
The one thing that is a real question mark is how long we can stay if our health fails. We're hoping to be able to bring in home health care.
Brooks Nelson is heading up a new development 150 miles away in Gainesville. Residents have already bought and moved into eight of its 24 plots. They're mostly in their 60s and older, and they've started to see the benefits of co-housing.
We have had members go through hospital stay or go through different things in their lives, and they're able to rely on each other to help out.
An AARP survey found nearly 70% of people who want to age in place say the reason is that they like their community. In Orlando, I'm Danielle Pryor for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.